Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. All right, so I've got a reflection for you today to get us kicked off. Camino reflection, which I hope you find to be a blessing. It's about divine appointments. All right, let's dive right into that now. And then afterwards, we'll move to another sharing on the Holy Spirit.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, I want to welcome you to week 2 of my Camino. And today I'm going to share with you about my walk from Logroño to Navarrete. When I chose to come to the Camino, when I felt this call, this opportunity to do this, again, it wasn't a requirement, it was a blessed opportunity to do this. I was coming as a pilgrim. And so the pilgrim is someone who is seeking the face of the Lord. I'm seeking him. And along the way, I want to be available and open to what I have loved hearing this phrase, divine appointments, right? So divine appointments are not just chance or coincidental meetings between two people, but it's a meeting set up by God that the Lord knows that the encounter is going to happen. And in doing so, he has set things up in a way that you're equipped with the grace you need to be able to be useful to him. My very first point to you is, as you launch out into your day, you are a pilgrim in your own life. There's a journey that you take as you move out into your day. And so one of the things that I desire and ask the Lord are for divine appointments. So with that as the background of what I'm doing every day. Oh, and towards that end, one of the ways that I have hopefully prepared the way is that I've been praying for the people that I'd meet. And it would be, Lord, every conversation on the trail, every conversation sitting at table, every conversation coming and going, I pray, Lord, for those people that I would meet, that you would bless them and that you would prepare me for them, prepare them for me, and prepare the conversation, Lord, so that you, in fact, would pour down the graces that you intend for that beloved son or daughter of yours. And so, on this particular day, I was able to get out early. And so as I was making my way towards Navarrete, I was only just a few kilometers away, just like a town away. And I realized I've got a couple of hours anyways, a few hours before I'm even going to be able to get into the next hostel. And so I'm walking down the street and I'm like, Lord, I haven't talked to anybody and I don't see anybody to talk to. I said, Lord, I really want a divine appointment. And so I'm going down this street and I notice on the opposite side of the street, this little small area, kind of like an entryway area where there's a church. It's not one of these huge churches, but it was a church and the door was open. And something inside of me said, go inside and pray. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. And I just had spent a few hours in prayer. And so I'm like, oh, do I really have to go in and visit you, Lord? Sorry, this is my humanness showing up. And something inside of me said, go in that church. Okay. So I cross the street and I'm walking towards the doorway of the church. And a woman, and she's in her 30s, kind of meets me as we're going into the entryway to the church that then will enter into the church itself. And I smile and nod, and she says to me, are you spending the night here? I said, no, I'm on the Camino, and I'm just passing through. I'm just stopping in to pray. And she says, okay. And so then we both go into the church, and something happened that I haven't experienced yet being here in Spain, and that is Eucharistic adoration. And I didn't know this, but I had walked into a cloistered convent. And the cloistered convent had this church attached where on one side there was a grills, right? So like kind of like prison bars. And but you could see through them to the side where the nuns would sit. And as I walked in, I saw that there was a monstrance on that side of the grill. And I could hear a religious sister singing to the Lord. And she was actually not sitting in a pew, but she was like on the floor, prostrate before the Lord, singing. And it was very moving. And I just thought, oh, Jesus, thank you. Some time in adoration. And so I went and I knelt and prayed and prayed for you. Prayed for all the folks who have asked me to pray for them when I'm on the Camino. And the woman that was there, she came and she knelt down and she was praying in adoration. And something inside of me said, I should talk to this woman. You see, I had been to church a number of times on the Camino, and anytime I had gone to Mass, I'd only seen elderly women. Like, I'm old, right? I'm 59, I'm old. But like, I was the youngest person pretty much at every Mass, unless there was a pilgrim younger than me. And so here's this woman in her 30s, and she's in the middle of her day, kneeling before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and praying. And I'm thinking, I've got time. Let me just ask if she's willing to share with me. I just want to know, what's it like to be a young person who is a person of faith and living your Catholic faith in this locality? So I'm like, well, if it works out, it works out. And so it worked out. What happened was as I got up and just started to kind of collect my things, she also got up. And so as we left, we ended up leaving the church together. And I stopped her and I said, hey, do you have like 15 minutes to talk? I said, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I said, I am just sincerely interested in someone your age that is coming to the church in the middle of the day and is practicing your Catholic faith. They said, I'd just really love to talk to you for 15 minutes. She said, absolutely. So we went and we sat down at this little, I said, do you know where? Show you right around the corner, a little coffee bar. We sat there and we were there for about an hour and a half, believe it or not, an hour and a half. Well, luckily she spoke really good English because she was an English teacher at the local grade school. And I started to just ask her questions, like, tell me about your faith. Tell me about, you know, your Catholic faith. And it, interestingly, what began to emerge was that this was less going to be an interview about me learning about the testimony of the faith of a faith-filled Catholic young woman. And instead, it was a divine appointment that was brought about because of her. The short of it is that she had prayed that she was going to the chapel and she was praying that the Lord would send someone from the Camino that she could talk to about her personal crisis. Okay, let me say that again. She was walking to the church to pray so that she could meet someone from the Camino that she could talk to about her personal crisis. And while she starts to unfold, there was a second connection about the Camino, and that was that the reason why she wanted to talk to someone from the Camino is that people that are on the Camino in general end up having like this sense of just stripping down defenses, stripping down masks, stripping down like hesitancies to protect and control like how I'm gonna share. So not everybody for sure, but there is a general sense of openness to be able to share a bit more about their lives and be very vulnerable sometimes about like deep things happening in their lives. And that's what I have found for sure. Well, in this particular case, she wanted to be able to talk to somebody who understood the realities of the Camino and be open to receive her sharing that was going to be very vulnerable sharing about this painful situation in her life. And in brief, it was that she had been unfaithful to her longtime boyfriend, someone that she had intended to marry while she was on the Camino. And it was years later, only recently, that she decided to share that with her boyfriend. And it was devastating. It was just devastating to him. And it had put up some walls and some, it left her confused and wondering, how do I go forward? And she was willing to share all this with me. And what, you know, in the mystery of God's plan, right? I happen to be a guy who has this sort of combination of having done church ministry work for decades plus coaching. And so I'm not uncomfortable with these kind of conversations and hopefully can provide some insight into sort of paths forward and things like that. And so it was a pretty powerful conversation. And at the end, because she was a person of faith, she was a Catholic and she was living her faith, I said, look, would it be okay if I just said a prayer with you? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, no, I'm going to pray not for you, but with you right now. And so I just said a prayer for her right there at the outside table in the bar. And she was really moved. And at the end of it, she said, Tom, you are an angel sent from God. You are the angel that God sent me today to give me the message that I was really needing to hear. And so I wanted to just share that with you. But two other points to that. One is, this is the third time, at least three times on the Camino, I have heard people share stories about infidelity in marriage. In this particular instance, this woman was the one who had committed the infidelity and how painful that was to her. And her sharing was just how deeply, deeply painful it was for her to see her beloved boyfriend suffer so much and how she desperately wanted him to be able to forgive her and be able to move forward in the relationship. In a second instance, it was a husband who was a victim of a wife's longstanding infidelity over the course of probably years. And she didn't confess it. He discovered it when he saw hints and things and read her journal and discovered this. And to talk about heartbreak, he just said how devastating it was for him to discover that his wife was living this fundamental deception in their married life. And just in a third instance, it was about a very unhappy marriage and circumstances around that. And she just said that it was clear that he had not been faithful to her in the course of their married life, and how, in her words, she married the wrong guy. But here's what I want to share with you. God is a faithful God, and he gives us what we need to be faithful to him. And if we fall short and betray the Lord in our relationship with him, then we do have mercy available. And so just at the level of our relationship with the Lord, infidelity is a deep wound in the heart of Christ. And we ought to sense that penitence, right? So there's that powerful work of a pilgrim is to do penance and to repair the damage, reparation. And I'm going to dedicate an entire reflection on the importance of penance and the different meanings of it. But just to say for now, that the Lord does give us a way to repair the damage that we cause in our own relationship with Him. But the second is this, that fidelity in marriage is a grace and it requires a determined effort. It's a grace that God offers to all of us who are married. In our marriage vow, we say, I, Tom, take you, Carrie, to be my wife, and I will be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. That vow on my own strength is impossible to keep. But with the grace of God, built on the rock of Christ, and this is the actual grace of the sacrament, right? The God's own divine life in us gives us the grace to do what is humanly impossible. I'm not saying it's humanly impossible to be faithful, but I am saying to love and honor all the days of your life. Are you going to really honor your wife or your husband all the days of your life? Really? All the time? So we do fall short. But God gives us grace. And so if you have been blessed with a marriage where fidelity has been at the core, be so very grateful for the pain that you've been spared, for the wound and the damage that you've been spared in your married life. And I pray that for your marriages. And so pray for the grace of fidelity in marriages, in your marriage, in the marriages of those you love. And for those of you who have experienced infidelity on either side, pray to God for restoration. Pray to God for a recovery of hope and a future and the ability to restore what has been lost. It is possible. I know that folks have started to write books about this, about restoration after infidelity. And God's mercy is in power is so vital. So, well, there's my reflection for the day. It's like, wow, you just don't know who God is going to put into your path in the course of a day. And in the days to come, I'll have other stories to share about other divine appointments. And so please continue to follow along. You can subscribe, you can follow, you can like these videos if they're a blessing to you, and leave a comment so that I can read them and respond and just an encouragement. All right, God bless you. Okay, I hope and pray that you enjoyed that reflection. We're now going to go back to the Holy Spirit series, which I do hope and pray you're finding to be a blessing. And stay tuned for more reflections on my Camino journey. And let's start with the scripture reading. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That is why I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that he will bestow on you gifts in keeping with the riches of his glory. May he strengthen you inwardly through the working of his Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and may love be the root and foundation of your life. Thus you will be able to grasp fully with all the holy ones the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love and experience this love which surpasses all knowledge so that you may attain to the fullness of God himself. To him whose power now at work in us can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What a beautiful passage from Ephesians. You know, it's a lovely passage. And it's talking about what? The Father, St. Paul is praying that
God the Father will bestow on us gifts in keeping with what we deserve. Wait a minute. That's not what it said. It said gifts in keeping with the riches of His glory. That God the Father has willed, God the Father wills to pour forth on us riches in abundance, generously, that are associated with what? Not what we deserve, not what we've earned, not what we've figured out, not what we've somehow got the secret password. No, in keeping with who He is. And immediately, St. Paul references what? The Holy Spirit. In keeping with the riches of His glory, may He strengthen you inwardly through the working of going to gyms and lifting weights. May He strengthen you inwardly through the working of His Spirit. We got the Spirit in baptism. The Holy Spirit already has been poured forth in our lives through our baptism. And the Catechism teaches, increased in our confirmation. And the Catechism again says that's our personal Pentecost. Now, he says that may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and may love be the root and foundation of your life. Love, right? Last week we talked a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're focused on the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God who brings His gifts, who distributes His gifts so lavishly and abundantly upon us. This Holy Spirit, who is love, will allow us to grasp fully with all the holy ones, with all the saints is the word in Greek, with all the holy ones, we'll grasp fully the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of Christ's love. There's an enormity here. There's a bigness here. It's our inheritance. What does that mean? Well, we've been made children of God, elevated to a whole new status, children of God. And as children of God, it's because of the Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. It's that Holy Spirit that can be released within us so that we will live from love. We will live in love. We will be immersed in love. We will dwell in love, and God's love will flow through us. How does St. Paul say it? He says that not only will we grasp fully, like the saints, the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love, we will experience this love. It does make folks a bit nervous because this is not typically what we hear. We don't often hear about the Holy Spirit's love in us that is He intends to, He wills to. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to say, does this include me? No, this is the inheritance of every child of God, baptized, confirmed. Every child of God, Christ intends to fill us, immerse us in love, to fill us with love. Do you know another word for fill, for immerse? Do you know another word for in Greek? If you say, what's that word for to immerse? Oh, it's baptized. So when you hear John the Baptist say, I baptize you with water, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And you've heard us use the phrase baptism in the Holy Spirit. What we're talking about is the gift of the Holy Spirit already given to us in baptism and confirmation being released. Sadly, the reality is too many of us, when we were confirmed, weren't really thinking about it as a personal Pentecost. Weren't prepared for it as a personal Pentecost. Didn't have a formation that said, get ready now. What happened to them in the upper room is going to happen to you. Let's get going. We're going to go forth with that fire. Let's go. And so in the mystery of God's plan, there's this awakening that's happening. This awakening that has happened, really, since the Second Vatican Council. And we've talked about it, right? This is us recovering our inheritance. So to just wind back the tape a little bit, I want to give you a sense of this reality of praying for and experiencing the release of the Holy Spirit already given to me in baptism and confirmation. How did that happen in my life? The first place where I experienced that was in front of the Blessed Sacrament all by myself. I was praying and I was seeking Jesus. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be known by you. I want to grow to love you. Lord, I want to know you better, because I had been challenged in my own faith. I'd been challenged that being Catholic was even Christian at all. And I didn't have answers. And I'm like, Jesus, they're talking like they know you. I want to know you. Are you real? Please, Jesus. And by the mercy of God, the pure gift of God, Jesus, there in the Blessed Sacrament, stirred into flame, unbound the gift of the Spirit in me. A sense of fullness, a sense of love, a sense of, this is the Lord. He knows me and I know I'm loved by him and he loves me. And I want that for all Catholics. I want that for all followers of Jesus. And this was before I even knew of anything called prayer meetings. Isn't that kind of wild? And then I went to prayer meetings and they talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit and Life and Spirit Seminar. And I went through that. And then I was prayed with by others. There was a priest and some others. And they prayed with us as we went through these weeks of preparation. And they prayed for me to experience a deeper release of the Holy Spirit given to me in baptism and confirmation. And it was another experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of, again, what? This being immersed in, this realization, this uncovering of the Holy Spirit being set free in me. And then from there, realizing that, hey, what the Lord had gifted to me over there by myself, he was actually doing over here in this group of people who are consciously, intentionally seeking this and seeking to help other Catholics come to know this. So I felt this like, oh, I love Jesus. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. As a lay person back then, there were no laity working full time for the church, almost zero, very, very little. So I'm supposed to be a priest. So I entered the seminary, spent 5 years in the seminary. Well, I came full of zeal. I came, oh, I'm going to enter the seminary and I'm going to be with a bunch of other guys who love Jesus. Let's go. And they're like, you are talking like this. And they did say, let's go. Right? And they walked away from me. They're like, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, I love Jesus. You do too. Come on, let's pray. Let's read the scriptures. Come on, let's pray. Right? I actually put my favorite scriptures, I put them on note cards. Right? And I had all these note cards. I'd go through them every night, just memorizing scripture. And when I got to the seminary, I had this big, thick stack. And I'm like, well, this takes too long. So I taped them on my wall. That's actually funny. So in the seminary, so I had like a brick wall full of scripture quotes, right? And one day I walked in the room and there was a faculty member reading my wall. And he felt like he got caught. Like, whoa. He says, good scriptures. And he left, right? I got an A in his class. Yeah. But here's the thing. I spent 2 years in Boston in the seminary, last 2 years of college, and then 3 years in Rome at the North American College. I was studying with about 80 guys in Boston in the minor seminary and about 130 guys in Rome. And of the guys I was studying with right now, there are about 20 bishops among the 130 guys that I was studying with. About 20 of them are bishops or archbishops right now, and many of them hold very strong leadership positions in the church. Okay. Awesome. But when I would talk about the Holy Spirit, and we would have classes and retreats and lectures and homilies, none of what I just shared with you was ever mentioned. I received an amazing theological education, pastoral formation, tremendous, brilliant people in Rome, and all these talks, all these homilies, all these retreats, all these classes, all of these,
the idea of seeking after and expecting and too muchness of God, experience of the Holy Spirit, seeking after a deeper release of the Holy Spirit. There were about three guys with me in Rome who would fellowship with me around that. Most other guys was not my thing, not my spirituality. And I'm like, this isn't about a charismatic spirituality. This is about the Holy Spirit thing. This is about having an intimate, personal, profound relationship with the Holy Spirit and having the power of Pentecost be operative in our lives. And that was just, it wasn't something that was in the air when I was there in the seminary. So you shouldn't be surprised if there are priests and others in church leadership who find this to be foreign, find it to be difficult to understand, and it's not part of their own formation. For many of them, we have to pray, because of course priests and bishops love God and have a devotion in their own way to the Holy Spirit. But this specific stream and theme and strain of this Ephesians 3, power of God. When we are missing that sense, what we can end up relying on is try harder Christianity. What does try harder Christianity look like? Scripture says today we should forgive our enemies. How are you imitating the call of Christ to forgive your enemies? Well, I'm sure if you're falling short, you know what you should do? Try harder. And so that approach, I remember when I first heard a priest talk about that, he said, we have to get beyond try harder Christianity. And I thought, wow, that's a really striking way of discussing it. But it strikes a chord, because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. But if the power of God is something unfamiliar or foreign to us, then we can default to another very common statement out here in the seminary and at theology school. The sacraments are not magic. The sacraments are the power of God. The grace of God is available there, but they're not magic. You don't just go through them and they magically have something happen to you. No, there has to be faith involved. And so what are we trying to do? We're simply trying to recover faith in the gift given to us in baptism and confirmation. We're simply trying to pray that the personal Pentecost that God wills for all of his children will happen. This personal Pentecost willed for us, our inheritance, would happen in our lives. And when that happens, everything changes. You go from try harder to, wow, it's so easy. It's like this whole reality of the Lord saying to us, what you try so hard to achieve, I'm waiting to give you as a gift. What you are trying so hard to achieve, I'm waiting to give you as a gift. And so tonight I'm going to ask you to expect more from God. Expect more. Expect more than maybe you ever have. That's uncomfortable. It's a little bit foreign. Like, what's the Lord going to do? If I say, Lord, I just come before you as I am. I just open myself to you. And I go into the depths of my heart, and I just give you my heart, and I just surrender it to you, and I just open. Come, Holy Spirit, and just fill me to overflowing. Be released within me so who you are in my life is the one you intend to be. Come and be released within me in new ways. I say yes to you, Holy Spirit. What's going to happen to you? I don't know. Ooh, right? But who's ready for that kind of faith? And the reality is, guess what? We need that faith. The enormity of the challenges, the spiritual battles, the worldly battles, the way that our culture is leaving behind its roots in faith, The enormity of these challenges is so much. Why would we leave God's power on the sideline? Mm-hmm. Let's not leave God's power on the sideline. Let's yield fully, completely, freely. It's called docility. Let's be docile to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just, I say yes. I say yes to you. And let's allow him to stir into flame those gifts of faith, hope, and love. The sevenfold gifts, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, right judgment, piety, fear of the Lord, courage, right? These sevenfold gifts and any other gifts that the Lord has for you, the Holy Spirit wants to release within you. Just give him permission. And watch what he'll do. This idea that things become easy, you'll find that there is victory over areas where we've struggled so hard. Like, why can't I forgive? What the scripture calls the anointing of God, this anointing, this power, all of a sudden just flows. And all of a sudden, I'm healed of those wounds. I'm able to forgive. I've recovered joy. I know a sense of freedom. I have a sense of confidence. I have this longing and desire to root my life in God. These are signs of the Holy Spirit set free within us. There's too little of that. Too little of that among the faithful. And yet it is our inheritance. It's already there. Remember, the gift was given, it was put in the closet. It's time that, Lord, anything you gave me in that closet, in baptism and confirmation, take it out, Lord. Open the gift. I say, I'm opening it. Let's go. That's all we're doing tonight. That's all we're doing tonight. Label it what you want. We're just simply praying. Lord, you have lavished such great gifts on us. We just want to yield to you. I've asked Debbie. Debbie's going to come and share her experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, or praying for a deeper release and empowerment, a deeper yielding to the Holy Spirit. What was that like for her in her life?
So several years ago, my husband and I were in a school of prayer ministry. It was a year-long school learning to pray with people and for people. And so we had been talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit for several weeks. We met like all day on Saturdays, every other week. So it seemed like a long time in between sessions, and it was going on. And I'd go, oh, next time. And I was so excited because we talked about this, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, we talked about 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I was anxious and excited and ready. And so finally the Saturday came, and it was beautiful, and, you know, beautiful praise and worship and beautiful prayer. And people were physically showing signs of the Holy Spirit resting on them. There was sometimes people would rest in the Spirit. There were people who were just kind of overcome with joy. And I was like, oh, I want that. And then I was prayed over and I felt peace. I didn't feel fire. I didn't fall over. I felt peace. It was nice. But we got in the car and I'm like, kind of disappointed. I said, I don't think it worked. So what I first noticed as the days went on shortly after was an increased desire to be with God, an increased desire to be in prayer and to read my Bible. It was like I couldn't get up early enough to spend as much time with God as I wanted before everybody else got up, and then that quiet time went away. And so I started to notice that I just, maybe there is a little fire. You know, it wasn't lightning, but there was something going on. And then I started to pray specifically, Lord, what gifts, what have you given me? What do you want to show me? The first time I felt like he gave me a word of knowledge was for one of the teachers or leaders in the prayer ministry school. And he told me, I felt like God was telling me in my prayer time, finger. I'm like, finger. I don't know what that means. And I'm like, I'm not going to go up to him and say, hey, you know, that's my finger. But it was like I had this quickening in my heart every time I saw him that day. And I'm like, you need to tell him, you need to tell him. It's Ruben, this sounds really weird. And, you know, I was praying and God told me finger and I don't know what that means. And he held up his finger and it was all swollen and he had just broke it. And I said, oh, okay, bye. He's like, no, you're supposed to pray for me. I said, okay. So ever since, God continued to pour out gifts, and it took a little courage and boldness to start speaking them. But as I did, they grew stronger. And then we had other experiences and times and opportunities to be prayed for the Holy Spirit. And each time I would say it was different. There were different things that I felt physically, and then different gifts that I saw come later. But it was the same God, it was the same Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it was just what I was ready for, I think, what I was willing to give him. So I just invite you to be open to whatever it is, you know, and it's gonna look different for everybody. So yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully what you hear in Debbie and in my experience is that this Catholic reality of praying for a deeper release of the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus is the Lord of. He's the one who willed it. He's the one who said, you will be my witnesses throughout the ends of the earth. Oh, wait a minute. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that's Pentecost. So one of the things that will be the fruits of the Holy Spirit released within us is a desire, an even unstoppable desire, to speak about Christ in our world, in our environment, among our relationships. There'll be an eagerness, a boldness, a hunger to seek him in prayer and to speak of him in our world. How that's going to show up in terms of gifting and gracing, we just leave that in God's hands. We just want to leave that in the Lord's hands. But we are going to pray for you for that, pray with you. We're going to pray with you for that anointing. We're going to do it in a couple of ways. Okay, so I'm going to first just give us the fundamental structure of prayer. This is for all prayer. It's not just for tonight. But it's a basic structure for how we pray and just basically lead you in a prayer to start. And then after that, we're going to move into the different rooms. We're going to have two prayer teams in the back. If you're not prayed with by us, it's not as if, somehow you're going to miss out. Right? You have to be prayed with, right? It's only if you want the best gifts. That is not right, okay? Right. Stay away from me. Yeah. All the gifts come from the Father of lights, from whom any shadow of change, James 1, 18, 19. So it's God, it's the Lord who gives his gifts. It's the Lord, Jesus, who's in our midst, who will be among us. And so in your own way, in your own desire, you pray. And a couple of beautiful prayers that I'm going to encourage you to pray. There's a prayer of St. Francis de Sales, a resolution to give yourself to God entirely. And there's a beautiful prayer, a Jesus, You Take Over prayer by Father Delindo Ruotolo. It's a very kind of famous surrender novena. And so I'll encourage you to sit quietly and talk to the Lord. Jesus, please release within me the gift of Pentecost. Jesus, please release within me the gifts and graces that you've already put into my heart. I want to be filled with the height and depth of your love. I want to know and experience that love, right? So you can pray for that in your own way as you're seated. And if you feel that little nudge, that little prompting, if you're open to it, then come forward. You can come forward, you can go in the back, and you can be prayed with. You might see someone already in there. You can just stand and wait. The people that are there, they've been trained in how to pray with people. So this is something that they've had a background in, they've had formation in, they've had training in for years or decades. So I've prayed with people for like this for since the mid-1980s. So it's been a long time. So yes, I am that old. And in that joint desire, that common desire to say, Lord, please release within this dear sister or brother or couple in front of us a personal Pentecost. Release within them the inheritance that you have for them. Grant them an abundance of graces. Fill them with the too muchness of God. However it is we sense the Lord leading us to pray with you. Okay? And then you get to leave once the flame lands on your head. Not until then. That is not what's happening, okay? We might say to you, are you sensing anything? Are you sensing peace? Are you sensing something welling up within you? And you might say, I got nothing. And that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It might mean at that felt level, the sensible level, you're not in that space where the Lord is saying, I'm going to stir that at that level. But the Lord is at work. He longs to release within us gifts even more than we long to have them released. Ooh. He longs to pour into us gifts and graces and set up free these gifts and graces even more than we want to see that happen. He has more power for us than we even can ask for, more than we can ask or imagine. And so let's allow our good and loving Father to pour out gifts in giving with his riches, the riches of his glory. He loves us that much. Okay? So, the structure of prayer. It's not complicated. This is a very simple structure that you can take with you beyond tonight. Okay? So where does prayer start? And what I'm going to do is when I lead you through the prayer, I'm going to have you follow these simple hand gestures. Okay? So when prayer begins, we begin like this with our hands in front of us. And do you know what this means? It means, I don't know. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is as I am. I am coming before you just like that, right? And then from there, with this sense of being open, with our openness, we're going to go and we're going to put our hands over our heart. Now, why? Our heart is that place of encounter. That place where the Lord dwells. And it's also the place of our own desires, those longings that we have in our heart. So we're going to get access to that heart of ours. And then again, just using our bodies as a way of expressing what we're doing in the spirit, it's going to have you lift your hands up as a sign of giving, right? We lift them up to the Lord, right? And so just that idea of lifting up our hearts to God, I'm just going to have you open up your hands like this. And you know what this means, right? Stick them up. Which means I give up, I surrender. And so we're going to be praying a surrender prayer. But do you know who else does this? None of my teenagers. But when those teenagers were 1 and 2, pick me up. I want to be held in the hands, in the arms of love. I want to be welcomed into the heart of love. I want to know that love, Father. I want the breath and height, length and depth. And so the hands up are not only I surrender and I give over all, but I give myself to you. And then we come back to where we started. And now, guess what? We've given over everything. So now we're empty. And because we're empty, we're also open. And so now we just want to be open to let the Lord do whatever he wants to do. So again, what did I just do? I just used simple hand gestures to bring you through a fundamental or basic structure of how we approach the Lord in prayer. Okay? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer that takes those gestures and turns it into a personal prayer. As you feel comfortable, you can follow along. If you'd prefer, you can just have your eyes closed. And you can just sit and allow that prayer to wash over you. Make that prayer your own to the extent that you feel comfortable. And so we begin. Father in heaven, in Jesus' holy name, we come before you with our hands open in front of us, saying that we come before you just as we are, with our questions, with our burdens, with our anxieties, with all of those things, Lord, that you know that are part of our lives, that weigh us down, hold us back, Lord, that can even overwhelm us. Lord, we come as we are. But Lord, we also now take our hands and just put them over our hearts, because you know our hearts intimately. You dwell there, Lord. And sometimes I have a hard time recognizing your presence, realizing that you have power, that your Holy Spirit, you, Holy Spirit, are there within my heart. And you long to release within me gifts and graces. You have gifts and graces that you have destined for me from my baptism, from my confirmation. And you also see the longings in my heart for my family, for myself, for those that I love. You know those burdens that I carry in my heart. And so, Lord, I give you my heart now. I just lift my hands up as a sign of giving you my heart. I open my hands up and I say, I surrender to you. Father, in Jesus' name, I surrender to you my heart. All that I am, all that I have, all that I love. Just give it to you. Father, I long to receive your love, that embrace, that sense of meeting your love that you've been waiting to unveil in me, waiting to disclose to me, waiting to pour into me in a depth and a dimension, and to release within me a power that I've not asked for or imagined. Well, tonight I ask, I seek, and I knock. Give that good gift of the Spirit, because we, your children, I, your child, am coming before you, and I long to receive in the fullest measure what you are so ready, willing, and waiting to give. And so, Lord, I bring my hands back down now. For now I'm empty and I'm open. To the extent that I can, Lord, I'm open, but I don't even know how to be open to receive what you're so ready to give. And so I say, please grace me now with that openness to receive, that gift of the Pentecost fire, Pentecost power, Pentecost intimacy, Pentecost nearness, Pentecost relationship with you, O Holy Spirit. I say yes to that in accord with what you have willed for me and you have already lavished upon me. Please unleash it now. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. And to the extent that I'm stuck, I ask you to set me free, to break the bonds, remove the blockages, set me free in ways that I don't even know how to ask for. For I say to you, here I am. Here I am, Lord. You've planted me in this moment in history. And I want to be a holy witness. I want to be your saint fulfilling your mission, the reason which you've created me. I want to say yes to that. So I say, please do it, Lord. For here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We are here. We are your sons and daughters. And it's such a privilege to be part of what you are doing tonight. And so Jesus, Good Shepherd, Lord and Savior, come among us and unbind and set free within us your Holy Spirit in brand new ways. And we make this prayer in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.